Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big midweek across the Scottish Premiership. Celtic stay top after a dramatic night at Hibs with two Adam Ida penalties and a whole host of talking points. Rangers had applied the pressure on Tuesday. There were other big wins across the two nights for Motherwell, Hearts, St Mirren and Kilmarnock, and the departure of Derek Adams. And Scotland have been drawn with Portugal, Croatia and Poland in the Nations League. Plenty to get through tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
It's been a great couple of nights of football, Gordon. The top five all winning, as well as your club Motherwell with an emphatic victory that saw the end of the Ross County manager. And it was just a big moment last night. Was the title race beginning to swing in Rangers' favour until that 92nd minute penalty from Ida? We finally have drama back at the top of the table. I've got a feeling it's going to be like this week to week.
Yeah, it's been an exciting two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday. Obviously kicking off at Ibrox. Rangers getting that win there with Neil Warnock in first game in charge with Aberdeen. Tight one, which I thought it would have been. And then obviously the games last night and teams like St Mirren bouncing back. Terrific result, home result for them. And my team, Motherwell, for once, we get a 5-0 drubbing in Ross County and a clean sheet.
0141 951 1025. So many talking points to get through. The title race, it was on already. The on button is stuck, I think, between now and the end of the season. It was quite the night at Easter Road. Brendan Rodgers had never won there before. Rangers had done their bit on Tuesday. Celtic fans, what did you make of it? What did you make of the performance? Sometimes we hear that these are the nights that show what champions are made of. You win when you're not at your best. But for other fans, it might be a worrying performance level. So you can decide. You tell us. 0141 951 1025. In case you hadn't heard, there were a few talking points within the game as well. Adam Ida with two penalties. So everyone's been having their say on social media for the last 20 hours or so. Now is the time to do that on here. If you're that way inclined, 0141 951 1025. Loads of other big games last night. So fans of every team who was involved, please do call. Rangers fans, you maybe thought it was going to be another advantage handed to you last night before Celtic struck late. So you can update your thoughts on the midweek action. Derek Adams has left Ross County. And what about this? How does it feel to be mixing it with the big boys? Remember the Nations League when it first came around and everyone thought, what is this? Then we realised it helped us get to the Euros and we thought, well, get on board with that. And we've climbed and climbed and all of a sudden in League A with the big boys, Portugal, Croatia and Poland. So it could have been maybe harder on paper. I don't know, but clearly good teams in that top level for Scotland to be drawn with. 0141 951 1025. Call us right now, and to set the scene for you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will give us their result of the midweek.
Yes, okay. Well, there's a few standout ones there, but I'm going to go for a slightly, well, maybe obscure one. I think St Mirren at home to Dundee, and the people think, why is that? But
Why is that?
Listen, Dundee, I think, have been very good this season under a good run of form with Tony Dawk. It was always going to be a really tough game for them, but it keeps them ahead of Dundee, keeps them 9 points ahead of them. I think that's incredibly important for St Mirren.
Okay, result of the midweek. Usually what? This is the Monday team do this, but if we've got a full card, it would be crazy not to.
Yeah, one place for me. 9-9 from my window, Fir Park.
Obviously.
5-0. Terrific. And could have been more. And the most pleasing thing about that, I've been critical of Motherwell on this show about home form, can't keep a clean sheet. Clean sheet as well. Forward. Feed the bear.
Can't argue with that. Goal of the week. Good choices there as well, I have to say.
Yeah, I think there's a few good choices. I'll go away from Motherwell. I'll go to Easter Road. I thought Levitt's goal last night, to get Hibs back in the game. Mark will tell you that good players with good technique, brilliant, and gave Joe Hart, for me, absolute no chance. Terrific strike.
Yeah, was a terrific strike, but we'll better that. Blair Spittles, I don't know if you'll see many better this season. It'll certainly be in the running. By the way, you could have looked at his first goal because that was very good as well. But his second goal, you could not have had it any sweeter. You know, had everything on it, back curl, back dip right in the top corner.
Howler of the week, it can be anything really. You know, it can be a sitter in front of goal, a defensive error, a goalkeeping error, a referee. It can be whatever you like. Who is howling this midweek?
I'm going to pick on the Reds from Aberdeen. I think if you come to Ibrox with the atmosphere cranked up as much as it was, you've got to be solid. You've got to be solid at the back. And their goalkeeper, I thought, handed Rangers a couple of gifts, but take nothing away from Matondo and Cantwell. I thought they were
terrible. I think you're taking a lot away from
if I'm talking about Neil Warnock coming there, watching the goalkeeper, Keller Roos, for the first time and thinking, especially at the first one, McCausland on that weak foot. Listen, well done to the boy. He has a go. You've got to do better as a goalkeeper, especially, as I say, you give that Ibrox crowd such a... the emotion of it and the atmosphere and the generation, the way it goes forward in the sense of atmosphere for the players to then kick on. So I thought the goalkeeper really helped Rangers' cause, but good finishes from
Matoma. Only one man for me.
Howler of the week goes to
Derek Adams.
Really?
Not only this week, but every other week. Last 12 weeks since he's been in, or 12 games, should I say. Only
79 days.
Yeah, I mean, just an absolute howler of a regime he's held. Firstly, he came out and criticised the product, Scottish football, followed by criticising his team. You wondered how he would limp on after that, or how his team would react. Well, his team reacted like everybody expected his team to react with that sort of performance, and he lost his job. Derek Adams for me.
And top man of the week, who are we going for? Top performer?
I'm going to start Easter Road. Now, there's a few we could have picked, but maybe not for the performance overall, but Adam Ida, for the 92nd minute penalty. It takes a lot of bottle to step up and take your second penalty, but when he knew the stakes and what it meant right in front of the fans, that's real pressure, and he tucked that away where Celtic have had a problem in recent weeks with penalty takers.
Especially against a goalkeeper that's got a good record of penalties. He's terrific at them, but I totally understand where Mark's going, try to keep his cell in with the Celtic support. But I'm going for Blair Spittle. You can't get any better. Mark said that you could have picked any of his goals last night, assists, even the one through for the Bear when he was offside. Terrific finish as well. His all-round game has improved unbelievably over the last month or so. So he deservedly gets the man in the match.
01419511025. Barry is a Celtic fan who's going to kick things off. What's your overriding feeling on last night, Barry?
Very lucky. they kept going, which I suppose is the only thing you can ask for them. The guy put in a late challenge on Kyogo, and we got the penalty, and luckily, as Mark said, Ida stepped up and dug us out a hole. But my point I wanted to make was, as you rightly said about Derek Adams just there, Motherwell taking five off them. Celtic only took one off them. We're lucky to kind of get away with the win against them. Last night, against a very poor Hibs team, I watched against Forfar, against Rangers, and against St Mirren. Every one of the games, the Hibs were pretty poor. I thought, if you're going to call it even, I thought Hibs had every right to try and win that game last night for the chances they had. I just want to know, especially Mark, being a former player, I'm looking at McGregor's body language and other senior players' body language. I don't think that they can play this way any longer. This is laborious, pedestrian football to watch. It's so hard to watch. I think I heard a lot of Rangers fans saying the same, that this is the way Van Bronckhorst was playing, this U-shape, trying to probe the ball in behind two banks of five sometimes. You know, it is very hard to watch. And from what we went from last season to now, I just wanted to know, somebody like Callum McGregor, does he go to Brendan Rodgers and say, Gaffer, I don't think this is working anymore, or do they stick by him?
Well, like, I can't claim to be an expert in anybody's body language. Like, I can see your point in terms of the build-up certainly seems much slower than under Postecoglou. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Postecoglou, even the ball boys and ball girls were in it, that as soon as the ball went out of play, it was thrown back in. It's slightly slower, slightly more conservative in the build-up play.
It's funny, Brendan Rodgers though was still saying they're not being asked to play differently.
I did read that.
He said the quality of the player has maybe changed. He is adamant they've not been asked to play differently. I don't think Barry buys that. I don't think lots of Celtic fans buy it. But it's interesting then what is going on.
Well, look, the system for me is still the same. You look at the formation, still the same, really. You've got your two wide guys. You've got the Kyogo through the middle predominantly. You've got a midfield holder, McGregor. O'Reilly and Bernardo play a wee bit more advanced. Your fullbacks are still coming inside. So that's all the same. But the pace of play is certainly different. I don't think anybody can deny that. Centre-halves seem to be a lot more involved. I mean, last night I watched Welsh and Scales. In the first half, they were about 40 yards through the Hibs goal and they were picking up the ball. Now, extremely high. Of course, it's to do with the team you're playing against. Hibs backed off the play in the first half, so that's why your centre-halves get so high. The spaces are confined, you can't pass through. That's where Celtic are finding problems. I thought last night in the first half they tried to play through sometimes. I thought they tried to play in the channel for Maeda, and I think he will help when he comes back because you need pace in the wide areas to make those runs. But over recent weeks, it's certainly not clicking. Even the execution of the passes, and maybe that's what he's talking about, the quality of the player rather than the what they've been asked to do. The execution of the passes has certainly been lowered, the standard have been lowered. So that's a worry.
Does this not feel like a good win, Barry? That feels more like a worrying performance. Is that what you're taking away from it?
Yeah, pretty much. The past couple of weeks, it's been pretty worrying. What's the steady decline? I just don't know where we go from here. I genuinely do. A lot of Celtic fans will shout at the radio and say, "Oh, that you're wrong." But I genuinely do see this as, I see it as a downward curve. I see the club going down the way. I don't see us picking up. I don't see anything from Rodgers to say, right, I know how to change this, or I know how to... And I don't know how he can say they're not being asked to play differently.
Mm.
How can you possibly say that when you're on the front foot constantly and you're pressing teams? We're not pressing teams when they've got the ball. We're standing off. McGregor, now, I know what Mark's saying. He said, you're not a professional reading body language, but when McGregor was on the ball under Postecoglou, he had total control, and O'Reilly and Hatate, they had freedom of expression as well on how to play. I just think when the ball goes out wide, especially Kyogo, he always wanted to play off the shoulder. And now when I'm looking, when I'm seeing McGregor with the ball, or you've seen O'Reilly or Bernardo with the ball, I feel as if you can see Kyogo as a figure. He's frustrated because he wants to play off that shoulder and make the runs. And it almost, to me, sounds like, no, the ball goes out wide. We're doing it my way.
Where's your confidence that Celtic win this league?
None
at all.
I don't see it. I don't see where this is changing. I don't see where this, the January window hasn't brought anything in to me that says, right, there's a player here that can truly, you know, a left back to cover Taylor. Coons just came in the door, but I don't really see him as an out-and-out winger either from what I've seen. I really don't see where it's coming from. Rangers have momentum. See, to be honest, I don't think Rangers are particularly good either, but Clement's got them working hard, and I just feel as if Celtic's, the work ethic's gone. You know, the we never stop, it's gone. It's not there anymore. It's me, they're feeling sorry for themselves because they can't break them down with this style of play.
I think Barry's a concerned Celtic fan. I don't think he's alone. I've got to admit, Gordon, I watched them against Aberdeen first half. I thought they played very well indeed. Should have put Aberdeen away. I watched them last night first half. They controlled most of it, but it seems to be the second half. Now, you talk about Callum McGregor. I'm a Callum McGregor fan, and I think he's a terrific player. Callum McGregor is way below par. I don't care what you're saying about formations or anything. Callum McGregor is not playing the way Callum McGregor plays. But you look at the overall picture. Just now, if Celtic continue on this path, I think a lot of Celtic fans out there will agree they ain't going to win the league. They ain't going to win the league playing like that, especially last night. You look at, you talk about money and transfers. How much money has Celtic spent on wingers, right, through whatever they're going? They've got a vast amount of wingers in the club. Does any of them actually take fullbacks on? I watched the new lad last night, and I'll I'll give him a bit of time. He's just in the door coon. Now, he's got great ability. You can see he's got great feet. He's got a bit of pace. Every time he took the ball, he went back the way. Right? Maeda, I had no idea. The only time he can get on the ball is if you hit it over the top and there's a lot of grass there that he can use his speed to get into. Apart from that, to me, he doesn't really contribute a lot. You then bring on Abada. He's all over the place. I think Celtic, just now. Now, what I will congratulate them on, you have to get character. You have to dig deep. You have to go and grind that result out. That's a terrific result. You've seen the reaction of Brendan Rodgers after it. He realised how they got away with one, right? I'm not saying Hibs should have won the game. I think Hibs deserved a point. But if you're a Celtic fan today, and I think Barry's right and honest, and you're watching that, you're very concerned because Rangers have got momentum, right? They certainly have. And if Rangers had went into the transfer market, and I could be wrong, and got that number nine, a Majowski, a Shankland, or whatever it is, a guy that would guarantee them goals, I think Rangers would best stick on to win the league now the way Celtic are going about their business.
What was the script with that, Mark? Because like we said, you go back over previous seasons, people would reference Anthony Ralston's late winner in Dingwall. There's always going to be a game where you snatch it at the end and people say, that's a good sign. We're going to go and win the title from here. But I'm not getting those vibes from the Celtic fans that they took that away from last night.
No.
I feel like it's a worrying trend.
Yeah, and when you're in February and you get a victory like that, that's the way it should be. It's particularly when you wake up this morning and you're still top of the league. But
so it's gone before, isn't it, with the points swing?
Said numerous times, with the points swing, with recent performances coming off the back of Pittodrie and throwing it away there, and added to it the feeling about Brendan Rodgers when he came back to the club. I just feel that will never go away with a section of the Celtic fans. No matter if Brendan Rodgers goes on and wins this league, I still think it will be there. And that's a problem. That's a problem that has to be addressed.
Let's thank Barry for his thoughts and bring in Paul. Are you as lacking in confidence about Celtic's chances, Paul, or are you a bit more optimistic?
No, I'm a lot more optimistic than Barry anyway. I don't know if Barry watches the games for maybe his living room, but I just think Celtic, when I watched last night, they did get away with it, and I thought myself, thank God VAR's there for that penalty, do you know what I mean? Kyogo came on, he won as a penalty, it was great. I was struggling to watch it myself. I was watching it from behind the couch, to be honest. But these are the games that if you nick it out, then surely this we've got a chance. For him to say that we have zero confidence in us winning the league, how many leagues have we won out of 15? How many Rangers won?
It was good to say that you said that Barry was watching it for his living room, but you were behind the couch. How's that work?
I can't get away
game,
sorry.
All right. got you there, Paulie.
But what, Paul, I get it, obviously, because there will be a winning mentality in the team from, say, like last season or whatever, but does that, how much can that carry? Are the performance levels where you want them to be?
No, it's never on there. I'm really disappointed with the transfer window and all. But at the same time, when I came out of the Celtic game after the 30th, I said to my friends that I was at the game with, I was thinking, this might shoot us in the foot, because you know what Celtic are like? They think if we beat Rangers, we don't need to spend any money. And on the 31st of January, I was actually thinking about commenting on Ida's picture on Instagram and saying, is the season tickets going to go up? But I just want the boy to do good and give him confidence. So I thought, nah, dingy that comment.
Fair enough.
I think he'll score goals for something.
By the way, yeah. So they
are. There's something about him, yeah. And I agree with Mark, and he's talking about big moments. That was a big moment for him last night. You know what I mean? The second penalty kick was a big moment for him. Especially, he knows that's the difference between leaving Easter Road with 1 point or that valuable 3 points. And he was absolutely brilliant at it. Look, he missed a sitter. I think it was for offside or whatever, but he still should put it in the back of the net. But he looks a player to me that, given a bit of time and give him the right support, I think he'll bag goals.
Where are you on the notion, Mark, that, you know, well, look, we've won loads of titles and Rangers haven't, so therefore confident that it can happen again. Is it as simple as that?
To be honest, no, that kind of counts for nothing. That's all in the past. It's about the here and now, where the both clubs are at the minute. Rangers,
because we
kind
of heard that the last time Celtic surrendered the title, didn't we?
You've got to discount that. What's been in the past has to remain there, and you've got to focus on from the, what is it, 13 games to go, and how you go over the line. There's no doubt about it. For me, still, Brendan Rodgers, a top class manager. However, across at Rangers now, Philippe, come on, also looks like a top-class manager who's getting a different tune, a different attitude from his Rangers players. and that makes them dangerous opposition.
Thank you, Paul. 0141 951 1025. There were a few other talking points in that game as well. If there's anything else you want to cover, now is the time to pick up the phone.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep those calls coming in on the midweek action. Lots of it. Brendan Rodgers says his players showed immense heart to win last night. However, he says they need to play much better going forward.
I said before the game to the players, listen, whatever's happened before, we've got 14 games left of the season. Tonight won't, you're not going to win the title tonight, or you won't lose it, but you can make a big psychological impact by coming away to a tough ground and winning. But what I never doubt about these players, and I said to them before the game, to get through and to win games, we need to play with a heart and a soul. And the players showed immense heart to keep going right to the very end and get the victory. So really, really pleased for the team. We will play better. We have to play better. It's not the level that I want to see, but we'll go away and analyse it and look to be better in our next game.
We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Ruddy says, ask Mark Wilson, what are his thoughts on Hibs not getting a clear penalty? Says Ruddy. Come on, Mark Wilson.
Which one
give
to
us
talk
your
about? Boyle. The one Boyle dived. That's my thoughts on it.
Ooh.
Like, you know, agree.
Aye.
There you go. That's my thoughts. I mean, Boyle's not got a perfect track record for that, but I thought again he went down and dived, yeah.
I'm going with my fellow colleague here. I don't think that was a penalty kick.
A bit boring. All right, okay, fair enough. Well, come and argue with them if you want. I know there were other decisions you'll want to raise, I'm sure. So 0141 951 1025. James is in Port Glasgow. James, how do you feel about Celtic at the moment?
Again, guys, pulling up another shocking performance. Hibs should have had a point, possibly three. The second half, the Ipswich is open at the Red Sea. Guys, the question I'm asking is, there's gifted players at Parkhead, gifted. There's too many of my form at the moment. When was the last time the midfield got a grip of the game and they were outstanding? O'Reilly has disappeared. McGregor's disappeared. Abada disappeared. Coon last night, he disappeared. I could get through the whole team. I'd only see people pass marks last night. That's a goalie, Welsh, and Scales. But the second half, when you watch the game, look at the gaps in the middle of the park. Where were they? This is I keep saying this. This is a £100 million jackpot here. There is something wrong at Celtic Park. Too many of the players are off form. I don't know what Brendan's got to do to make them click. But we have to get something sorted, because I'll tell you a wee quick point. The last time we scored a goal, the last four games, two penalty kicks and two OGs. Remember the last time a Celtic forward scored a goal?
Look, I mean, they all count, and I know there's been deflections in there and so on. I also get James's point, because Celtic probably expect to run in loads of goals and really stylish ones. Anyway, overall,
James is bang on the money. Of that, there's no doubt. I do agree with him and everything he says. He talks about the quality that Celtic possess. Look, are they missing Carter Vickers at the back? Of course, Hatate, Midley Park, quality players. I totally agree with that. But all teams get injuries. So it's up to the guys that have been waiting for a chance to step up and take their opportunity. I look at the full team. I keep going back to it. And the captain is the main man for me, right? He's the leader. He's the one everybody looks up to. He's the guy that talks in the huddle. He is the guy that has won everything with Celtic. He knows what it takes. Whether he's just having a real runny bad form, I don't know. But he's not contributing anything. But apart from that, where James is right, last night I looked at, I thought Welsh, right, first half, I've got to say, I thought Welsh was excellent. But the problem with Welsh is, in the second half, he seems to pick up niggly knocks. You know, and it's stopping the boy from really making a big impact because, I watched him and I watched him closely, him and Scales. Scales has been terrific for Celtic, I've got to say. Joe Hart last night as well. He couldn't do anything about the goal. I know some people thought, well, what about the goalkeeper for the goal? You ain't getting that. No goal, no goalkeeper's getting
who
that.
Who thought that? I don't think MD thought
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I've seen a couple of things.
I
look at that you obviously
you,
don't.
You gave Levitt the goal of the night, did you
I know?
Know?
In my opinion, I say it other people. But when it's all when it all boils down, I know they're missing key players, but Celtic have a big squad. I go back to these wingers, Gordon. Kuhn, I'm giving the benefit of doubt. He's just in the door and it's very hard to judge. But on first showing, I thought when he come on against Aberdeen, I thought, oh, he's got to be lively. He makes runs into the box. He's very positive. Last night, every ball he played back the way. And I thought the wide men were poor. Abada comes on and offers absolutely nothing. Look, they can't keep going like that. I agree with Brendan Rodgers. It's all about character. It's all about strength. It's all about going to different difficult venues. They've been there before. They've got great players, but they've got to do better.
Quite widespread. Gordon's got in for Callum McGregor tonight, I think, which is fine.
No, no, yeah. I'm stating a fact.
How quickly things...
Knifing him.
How quickly things change.
He'll not be doing the huddle.
If you were to draw the line right now and vote for player of the year, it probably would still be Matt O'Reilly, but again, in the last what, 3 or 4 games, he's looked like he's quite far off it.
Well,
Leo Labada, I know there's a lot going on there, but it feels like there are quite a few players that it's just not clicking for. And again, maybe we are being really short term, but that's Glasgow in a nutshell.
Aye,
for you,
recency bias, and I can't help but think there is an overreaction over this stuff. I get there's a disconnect between Rodgers coming in and a certain section of Celtic fans, but then get that performances haven't been sparkling this year, however still successful, and there's been periods that Celtic have been good. The period just before Christmas, for example, they were back to their best. Maybe not hit the heights again. Players are off colour, off form, there's no doubt about it, and it's all came together at the same time. That's the problem. You know, it's not as if you're getting 7 or 8 on form and 1 or 2 or 3 off form. There seems to be bunches of them together. Now that's a problem. However, what I would pair it with is if you've got that problem and you're still sitting top of the league, played 25 and won 19 of those, I don't think it's as bad as some Celtic fans phoning in and saying it's a crisis. Now, I can see this concern because it's, no doubt about it, it's not top class performances. But when you win, like last night, I don't think there should be absolute outpouring of emotion. Oh my God, how bad is this?
Just quickly, do you realise that we're on the live stream and people can see you when you're thrashing around looking under the table?
I've got to say,
what are you doing?
My legs have went into frozen mode.
But what are you doing? You're looking under the table, you're trying to climb under there.
Somebody must have put on...
What is that noise?
I don't know, but it's freezing,
you know,
in here.
I'll agree with you, and I don't know if this is coming across on the radio. You can tweet me and let me know. There is a noise that started in here.
Sounds like a hoover. What, have you got a hoover under that desk?
What is that? What's that?
It's like my legs have went dead cold under here.
You get some aircon issues under there.
I don't think there is
no aircon under there though. It's just a desk.
I can
your legs have went cold.
I can feel a draft.
Anyway, that's a good sign.
No, I don't think so.
I know. Thanks. CPR.
Thank you to
just let me go.
Thank you to James on the line from Port Glasgow. What about Tam, who's called in from Barhead tonight? What did you call for tonight, Tam? Oh, he's disappeared right at the key moment. I was looking forward to hearing Tam's thoughts. Let's try and get him back on. I don't know what's going on here, whether he think the bottle crashed, think technical difficulties.
Maybe technical. I think we're experiencing
some speech.
I'm cold.
Problem, by the way. Did you have some problems the other night? Did you have to... I've seen a clip of you taking over the phone lines. Was it you and Kenny?
Oh, yeah, Gordon's mate went. I bet the pro stood up to it. No problem at all.
Whilst we try and get Tam back, Nick Montgomery's not happy with you two. He thinks that they should have had a penalty when Martin Boyle was booked for diving, and he thinks Burnaby should have been sent off.
The first one, you know, Nick is committed. You know, he's gone to win the header. There's no malice in it whatsoever. There's two players going to win a header, and I think possibly if that happens anywhere else on the field, the game stops. You know, the players get treatment, and it's maybe a drop ball. But I haven't watched that one back closely. But the second one, I've watched it once, you know. Look, maybe looks like it's just outside the box. Joe pulls out. I just think that not one person or anybody in the stadium thought about
asking for a penalty. So somebody's called the ref to have a look on VAR. So that's the most frustrating thing, because I think if the ref had been called over a couple of other times, especially the Martin Boyle challenge, he would have had no option but to give a penalty. So it's just inconsistent on that. But I know it's not easy. It's a real tough gig. But yeah, to lose it on the moment like that, when I thought we were the team that looked more likely to win the game, it's just rubs salt in the wound.
Thank you very much to the previous caller. We can't get him back. Let's go for Craig, who's up next, I think. Craig, how are you?
All right, I'm good. Yourself?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight? What made you call?
So, this is based on my point. Is it all right if I quickly ask the people on the panel a question before I start?
Absolutely, that's what they're here for.
Right, between the knowledge that you guys have as players, how long you've watched football.
Good one.
Can you give me one example in Scottish football where a penalty's been given for a head collision? Because I don't recall one ever.
These two have got the memories of goldfish, so I'd be amazed if they
could. Are you trying to say, Craig, it wasn't a penalty kick?
I'm trying to say it wasn't a penalty kick. Every single time there's a corner or free kick, they're usually, I can say at least in one incident in every weekend, that at least an incident when a player goes head of the ball and another player headers the player by accident missed time, and it has never resulted in a penalty. In fact, if you look at the Rangers and Aberdeen game at the weekend, not the weekend, was it?
Midweek, yeah.
Midweek. One of the Aberdeen players done the same to a Rangers player in the box. Wasn't looked at, no penalty. I have never, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I've never seen a penalty being given for a player missed time in a header and hit the player. And also, when I actually watched back at that, because I watched it a few times just so I didn't make myself look daft when I come on, it's not actually the Hibs player that headers Johnson. If you look at both of them 50-50 header each other. Johnson headers the ball, the Hibs player goes for the action to header the ball, and as Johnson is headed the ball away, he turns his head to the side and actually follows into the Hibs player. It's a 50-50.
I mean, that's not really what that means, though, then, is it? Because if Alistair Johnson gets there first, then it becomes just late, doesn't it? It's not really 50-50 at that point.
But what I'm saying is, just for example, right, as I say, in Scottish football, every single weekend, I can guarantee you, all six games every single weekend, there is incidents like this in the box constantly. This isn't a moment that's like a unicorn that never happened, so we can't say if it's the right decision or not. These incidents happen every single week in the Scottish League.
I think it depends. Does it not depend how, as an example, right, and I can't, because obviously this isn't the way it played out, but I was unfortunate enough to be at Perth the day that Danilo got his bad one, you know, really bad one in the face. See, if that hadn't been a goal, I like to think that would have been a penalty. I think that would have been a penalty. But I take the point, I can't prove that because it didn't happen and all the rest of it.
Look at that situation as well. If Danilo scores that goal, which he did, and that's maybe why the ref hasn't gave a penalty, the referee would have, if he thought that was dangerous, he would have then still had to book the player, which he didn't.
Did the Hibs player get booked last night?
It doesn't matter if he gets booked or no. He's got a penalty against him, so the rest gave him a foul.
No, I know, but you're the one that brought up the example, Craig. You're the one that brought up the example, saying that the proof of the difference would be that, you know, the St Johnson player would have been booked on Danilo. So I was just asking, genuinely asking, if the Hibs player got booked last night. Anyway, the bottom line, do you two think that was a penalty? I think that's, in a roundabout way, what we need to be asking.
Yes, I think it's pretty clear. It's a penalty. Craig, let me just say this to you. It doesn't happen every week. Late ones like that don't happen. Maybe this coming together, maybe they're a bit closer. But when it was as late as it was, and the Hibs player, right to say it was misjudged, of course he didn't mean it. However, that ball's on the ground and Alistair Johnson pokes it away and the Hibs player catches his ankle, would you say that was a penalty? Of course
so
you would.
No,
there's no difference. There's no difference. There can't be a difference.
When was the last time that you're seeing two players going up for a header in the middle of the park?
But you keep coming back with that argument like that justifies that it isn't a penalty. Of course it's a penalty. If that's never been given, that's not our problem. That's not the referee's problems last night.
Are you trying to tell me in the last, maybe, say even how long I've been alive, 30 years in Scottish football, you're trying to tell me that there's not been a scenario at all where that's happened in the box and there's been a penalty being given?
Can I read you something? I don't have, you don't have to agree with it, obviously. I just thought it might be a nice sort of input into the conversation. And it's just how 2024 is this that you're referencing Instagram? But I noticed this is something Bobby Madden does quite a lot now. He likes to say what he has to say about decisions without, I guess, having to put his head up there too much. Just put it on Instagram and let
people... He's a better referee since he retired.
Read it. Like so he went through all the kind of controversial decisions from the midweek there. And he said on this one, Craig, that this is a clear penalty. If you play the ball with your foot and a defender careless or recklessly kicks your foot, it's a foul. Just because it's your head doesn't make it different. Ball played by the attacker and late contact, so foul penalty. This would be given in every league in the world, and if not awarded by the ref, VAR would intervene. I want to stress, you don't have to agree with that. I'm not saying because Bobby Madden says it that it makes it right, but it's just quite interesting to hear it in referee speak.
Well, first of all, I've got Bobby Madden on Instagram, and first of all, he's made a few opinions recently on decisions, and the decisions that he's made focused on are either Celtic-based or Rangers-based, so I can't take his opinion seriously because every single situation that's involved Celtic, he said it's in Celtic's favour, and every single situation with Rangers, he said it's against Rangers, so I can't really take that.
That's actually not true. That's not true, because if you read the same post, you'll see that he said on the Sterling red card, he would have probably given a yellow.
That one's blatantly obvious, though.
Craig, it feels a little bit like you're moving the goalposts quite quickly here. How many ways do you want to wriggle out of this,
Craig? Keep going, Craig. You're doing well. You've got them.
I just find it very hard that yous are trying to tell me that there's never been a situation in the last 20, 30 years in Scottish football where a player's mistimed it, and yous are making it sound like this player's came in 5 minutes after it. I've just watched it over and over again. There's maybe a second or two in it. It's not like the Hibs player's super, super late. They're both going to head to the ball. Johnson gets to the ball a second before he does. Johnson then actually follows through, so does the Hibs player.
What would be the difference? Because it's fine, like, you won't be alone. Loads of people think this. I don't think it's a wild viewpoint. What would be the difference if it was on the deck? And as Mark says, and as Bobby Madden pointed out, you know, that difference of catching somebody late, even if it's an accident, even if it's a second, as you said, nobody's saying it's 5 minutes late. That's ludicrous. But even if it was a second, what would be the difference?
My point isn't, I think this rule should be this, and I think this rule should be that. My point is, if you look at every other challenge in the planet, there is several different ones that you can look at and go, that's similar. This is the point I'm getting to. Are you trying to tell me that in the last 30 years...
No, we're not trying to tell you anything, but the thing is, I've not got... The quickest way for us, right, because we're like 4 minutes late for the break, is to look at this incident in isolation and just decide whether it's a penalty or not. If you want me to try and remember every incident over 30 years... It'll take a bit longer, so I'm just asking you, last night specifically, if a player pokes the ball away with their foot and a player catches their foot late, accident, total sympathy, defender didn't know, didn't intend it, eyes on the ball, all that stuff, what's the difference? That's all I'm asking, because I'm sure you'll have an answer for it. You've had an answer for everything else.
I don't have an answer for that one. I'm just going based on, this is not a unicorn situation. This happens every week, and there is never, ever, ever been a penalty given, but the second it's Celtic and it's a one-off incident and we have to judge it on a one-off, that's a penalty. There's been plenty of situations exact same that have never resulted in a penalty. In fact, there's been plenty of situations like that that have resulted in either the team that put the ball out so the player could get treatment would get the ball back, or the ref would do a drop ball. This has never, ever happened before. You can't tell me that in the last 30 years of my life that I've watched Rangers and Celtic playing, and I watched them most weekends, that there's been several head collisions in the box, and there's been several times that one of the players have been late, and it's never ever led to a foul. I'm sorry, but I can't say that one situation that happens means that that's a foul when there's been hundreds of other ones the exact same, and every single one of them is a no. So 99% of the time, it's a no, but the 1% of the time when it's Celtic, it's a penalty.
So the refs are out to help Celtic. We got there in the end. You may well be right. We can't know either way. Thank you very much to Craig. We're now 6 minutes late for the break. We think we maybe could have let Craig go on all night. It was quite good fun. But I need to tell you about this. Four rollovers in a row. Let's try and make this quick, but it is important. Make me a winner. Last time out, the person didn't pick up on time. The 120 grand at stake here. You need to be in the draw by texting yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Cornell won on Friday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £120,000.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are in the building. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If we never return to see you again, it's because whoever is haunting this studio has taken us. Because we got to the bottom of the noise and it was the heater that's over there, but none of us turned it on, clearly, because we're sitting here in front of the camera the full time.
Spooky,
but that turned it? Itself on. That wee electric heater over there turned itself on.
You don't like things like that.
Do you believe in stuff like that? Are you into the supernatural?
100%.
Do you?
I've seen one.
I seen what?
Before a semi final. We stayed at a haunted hotel.
A ghost?
Yeah.
This cannot be right. Cancel the callers. This will be a good story.
You've seen a ghost?
100%.
We've not got time. That last caller took about 40 minutes, but hurry up.
Just quickly, we stayed up near Perth, Kinrossway, this hotel, and Ali Graham and I were sharing the room, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and the ghost was at the iron table, right? True. And he's iron. Anyway, cut a long story short, we go down for breakfast, I'm telling Big Ali the story, and the lad comes over that owns a hotel, and he's listening to the story. He goes away through the back, and he comes back with a picture the exact same as I described that night. The guy standing at the iron board. Right? Listen. And there's
a ghost that does the laundry.
Jimmy Nicol.
That's the worst ghost in the world.
Oh, you sure? I gave him a shirt for the night before. Jimmy Nicol come down and he started talking about his alarm clock started going the other way, right?
Oh, no. True. That's in Ghostbusters. And I'm sure.
His clock was going backwards.
He's been watching the Poltergeist.
You go and ask any of the guys that played in that squad and they'll tell you. And the lad had a book and it was all the visitors. And the reason that we were in the room, the guy shot himself, right?
Oh, hold on, you've taken the tone of the show in a wholly different direction.
I feel sorry for the ghost.
No, now I can't
that
really.
That is on my life.
And what was he hiring it for?
Well, I maybe begin with that night, but this is true, right? And Big Ali will slaughter me for it.
I like if he just says, this is true, and then it adds authenticity.
The night prior to the game, we slept with the light on.
So the guy could see your shirt when he was ironing it.
I got the next morning my suit, my trousers pressed right in the middle. I was unbelievable.
Anyway, whether that means this studio is haunted or not, I don't know. Well, let's squeeze in James before the news. James, how are you?
No bad times, guys. Good evening.
Do you believe in ghosts, James?
No, don't behave yourself, man. Nah, come on.
Quite right. I'm with you, James. Anyway, what you got for us?
Right. Who's the guy that's on the night again?
Gordon and Mark.
Mark Wilson. Behave yourself, man. Come on. Never a penny in a million years, mate. These things, a guy who was on before, the guy Craig, he's 100% right. It happens in every single game. Never a penalty. Come on. Get a grip.
What team do you support, James? Just out of curiosity.
No, Hibs. I'm a Rangers man.
Right, okay. That's a surprise.
No, surprise, because you bum on about Celtic all the time.
No. Listen, I think I'm pretty fair. Listen, if that was on a Rangers player, if that was in Tavernier, that's a penalty all day long.
Listen, if you're a referee.
No, you've got me there.
Are you? Actually, are you?
No, but so one thing I did for 20 years, I was
hold on,
referee.
That says it all. Are you a referee? Gordon's right.
I was for 20 years at amateur level. I did it myself in the Glasgow City Suburban League, which was a right tough one.
They'd be headbutting each other deliberately in that league, wouldn't they?
Well,
do you know what? I do think the guys are right. I think it's clearly rare, so I think that's fine. And it does strike, of all the kind of incidents that you can picture, I do wonder what consistency in that might look like. All we were asking anybody to do is just say, okay, how is it not a foul though? To sort of wonder about whether it's rare or wonder about what might happen the next time. It's all really interesting and it's great for theories, because after ages we got to the bottom of it with the previous caller. Really it was, this is all done to help Celtic, and next week it'll be something that the Celtic fans are... I know you're not, James, but I'm just kind of paraphrasing the previous call. Is it a foul or is it not?
I think you're right there, James. So if that's outside the box, right, the ball's coming across, Alistair Johnson heads it away, and a Hibs player comes in and catches him on the side of his head with his head, is that given as a foul outside the box?
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
It's a classic heat. It happens every single game.
That guy was right. Every single game. There's no game in Scotland, no game in Great Britain or the world. You'll see every single game in Class of Heats. The referee stops the game, gives a drop ball or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think, it just depends. Because you're going to get, we've got the stream now, we can act this stuff out. You clash your heads, if you two sort of jump together and you're both kind of there together and the ball's there and it both hits. I think the obvious distinction for some of these incidents, whether that is one last night or not, where the line is clearly going to be drawn is when player A heads the ball away and then player B hits their head with the head, the same as it would be if it was the foot. That's clearly what the refs think happened last night. James, come on. When did you hang up the whistle? You should know intent's not mattered for quite some time.
You mentioned something, did the guy get booked? The guy didn't get booked for it.
Yep.
The referee didn't book him.
James, you're a first Rangers supporter. I know it's a referee.
Well, that was a good referee. Ask everybody's proposal, so they'll tell you.
But that's the thing, like
wet headbutts go.
You can I am totally fine if people don't think that's a penalty. I'm fine if people do, but I think we need to at least try and show our working in the best way. We always do it. Talk about intent, irrelevant. Talk about where his eyes are. Or I keep hearing, you know, it's just a clash of heads. Well, on Saturday when a penalty is given, is anybody going to phone in and say it's just a clash of feet? And no. They won't. Like, no. People don't use that phrase, but because we use the phrase clash of heads, it almost makes it sound like it shouldn't be a foul.
I think it's unusual, but I don't care what team you're playing for. I think that if you get that against you, I think you're claiming for a penalty kick. And I think I'm remarking this. I do think it was a penalty kick.
Right, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Do you want to take on the Ghostbuster Gordon DL or Mark Wilson at Beat the Pundit 01419511025? Lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We've spent the entire break trying to research whether Gordon DL did see a ghost or not in his time at Raith Rovers. I've been googling Raith Rovers ghost and other like-minded search keywords.
Me too.
I'm not really getting anywhere.
And
do you know what? You almost had me when, until you said that Jimmy Nicholls' clock was going backwards. I just draw the line.
That's a good bit of the show.
His clock was invisibly turning backwards.
I can only say what Jimmy told us at breakfast that day.
Right,
I'm going to do is one of the breaks, I'm going to phone Jimmy.
Honestly. When he's going to confirm that his clock was going to berserk.
Who are you going to call?
01419511025. You want to talk last night's football, Tuesday night's football, refereeing decisions? We've done a good bit of that. You might want to get back to football, or you might want to stay in the same theme. Your call. Get it in, and we'll speak to you after this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Back to winning ways he was on Tuesday. You should have heard him.
Oh, were you?
Oh, disgraceful.
Was it a poor one?
A female caller came on, really nervous, and so he just stuck the boot in.
Early.
Wiped the floor, took no mercy.
Mate, I was different class.
He put himself out there to be beat, didn't he? Well done.
Because you needed it. I think you were three in a row.
Three in a row, I had to bounce back. I showed good character.
You were really, really poor. Gordon, another Gordon, is on the line from Hamilton. How's it going, Gordon?
Not bad, thanks.
Have you ever played before?
No.
Who's perceived as being weaker out of these two these days?
Well, I'm sure it's Gordon, but
was it Gordon?
So sure. I'm pretty sure it's Gordon.
Well said, Gordon.
Anyway, let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it'll be Mark Wilson, and if it's tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it's the battle of the Gordons, as refereed by the third Gordon. So
Gordons,
that's more than you could ever possibly need. Right, let's give Gordon DL some music. He's nodding his head. It's very disturbing if you're on the live stream. Gordon and Hamilton, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, your 30 seconds then is on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish player to win a Champions League winner's medal?
Darren Fletcher.
Motherwell's Jack Vale is on loan from which English club?
No idea, Wickham.
How many caps has Jack Butland had for England? Is it more or less than 10?
Less than 10.
Who scored a hat-trick in the 2022 World Cup final?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership team has a lamb on their badge?
Ross County.
Ross County interim manager Don Cowie played in the English Premier League for which club?
Watford.
These are tough. Let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Tonight. Very tough.
Yeah, well, I can see by my fellow colleague's face here. It's not
they
very...
are the hardest I've heard in.
Have they?
Sometime.
Yeah. Okay, right, Gordon, let me go. You've had your turn.
See, we're just saying so many Gordons. I said last night in the show, I went to a local primary school to speak to some of the kids yesterday, and I had the YouTube videos up, obviously, of us. And after a while, I said, any questions? And the first little girl put her hand up and goes, how do you spell your second name? And I thought, what a bizarre question that is. But it was your second name. They had seen it pop up in the screen, and their minds were frazzled at the fact that it's
pronounced DM,
that it's written in such a confusing manner.
Yeah, a lot of people pronounce it wrongly. Come anyway, on, I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish player to win a Champions League winner's medal?
Andy Robertson.
Motherwell's Jack Vale is on loan from which club?
Oh, Huddersfield.
How many caps has Jack Butland had for England? More or less than 10?
Less.
Who scored a hat-trick in the 2022 World Cup final?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership team has a lamb on their badge?
A lamb? Pass.
Ross County interim manager Don Cowie played in the English Premier League for which club?
Don Cowie played with...
Hurry up. Don't look at him, he's not telling you.
It's no West Ham.
Hurry up.
West Ham.
West Ham.
It's no in it now.
Gordon on the line, have you done enough?
They were tough.
I think it's pretty close actually.
This is the first one's sneaky, right? Because he didn't play, but he did win a medal. And I checked it. Who's the last Scottish player to win a Champions League winner's medal? Billy Gilmore.
No, I'm not having that.
He was on the bench for Chelsea.
I would never get that one.
Yeah, it's a sneaky one. Yeah.
What did Gordon go for?
He didn't get it either. Darren Fletcher, I think. None of you got it.
I think Andy Robertson's a better shout.
It's not about. It's not like. It's not like closest to. It's just wrong, Gordon.
I'm afraid.
Are you giving me that one, Gordon? No.
Okay.
Jack Vale, tough question, is on loan from Blackburn. Thought you would know it. Been a bit more well.
I should have knew that.
Jack Butland has fewer than 10 caps. You both got it. One all to the Gordons.
Oh, this is terrible.
Who scored a hat trick in the 2022 World Cup final?
Mbappe.
Remember, it was like
so
Mbappe.
So he did. Oh, McCoy's is great line about over the line. Yeah.
Sorry,
McCoy's come out with a great line, didn't he?
I don't know.
It's the last one to score a hat trick. The went over the line. Remember Jeff Hurst and.
Oh right, great. Yeah, thanks for that. Which Scottish Premiership team has a lamb on their badge? I was really nervous about this question because this is the week, Mark Wilson, you would have missed this, that we discovered that producer John doesn't know what a beaver looks like.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No. He doesn't know. He thought a squirrel.
I just like squirrel was a beaver.
I just like saying that line. But he had a similar question on Tuesdays. It went all wrong.
That explains
the
a lot.
Lamb is St Johnston, right in the middle.
I wouldn't have got that.
Right.
Let's see.
That is tough. Look at that. That's got to be a lamb, isn't it?
No, Gordon, did you get that?
Many people would get that.
No.
Well done, son. Well done.
So it's one all at this
That's
stage.
That's a good question. That.
Oh, I never got that.
Don Cowie played in the English Premier League for which club? I mean, honestly, it's one all at this point. Gordon said West Ham, which was incorrect. And
what did Gordon say?
Gordon said Watford. And here's the thing:
it's no Watford.
I'm devastated for Gordon on the line because he did play for Watford.
Is it Cardiff?
But it's Cardiff in the English Premier League.
Was it a tiebreaker? That's good. Robbed. I'm happy with that.
I think Watford was the Championship.
By the way, that's a great shout for Gordon.
Yeah,
Watford.
Brilliant, mate.
We should really give it to him for that.
Hold on. What was it you said about my answer? It was wrong. Let's move on to a tiebreak.
Okay.
Touché.
Let's do it. Here's the question.
Go.
How many players have scored a hat trick for the Scotland men's national team?
And all Scotland,
what
right?
What are you
okay.
on about? Just how many players have scored a hat-trick for Scotland men's national team? Let's see. Gordon on the line, what are you going for?
9.
Right, you're both absolutely horrendous, but one of you is worse than the other. You are aware that like international football has been on the go for hundreds of years.
That's Scotland you're talking about.
I know,
now,
but listen, yours is bad, Gordon, but he's written 3. Three people in the entire history of the Scotland men's national team. Do you know what you need to do to that answer?
Put 1 in front of it.
Put a 3 in front of it. 30 3. So Gordon has
not a chance.
The worst answer of all time, but Gordon, they all count. Well done to you.
Thanks very much.
Did he beat me with a 9?
Gordon, he can always be spotted at a gym in the Hamilton area. If you want to meet him there, he'll drop the signed ball off to you.
Listen, I wouldn't do that. I heard him gloating the other day there. So,
quite right. Stay out of his way. Stay out of his way. Well done to you.
Well
Gordon.
Done, Gordon.
Right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I don't really
very
mean it,
much.
But you can take it if you want to.
Last time I was in Hamilton was yesterday nice. Morning with. You ever spent a Wednesday morning with Gordon DL topless?
Oh. Often.
As a few people.
Usually ritual.
Usually a Sunday morning.
Please don't
it
do
sounds
that.
Disturbing.
But, so you know, I said this on last night's show, but now I've got the man himself. You know, he always gets you just roped into just random nonsense.
He's got a strange life.
This is not nonsense, yeah. But you know, normal people phone you up. Do you want to go for a coffee? Maybe do you want to go for a game of golf? That's kind of it. That's about as far as it would extend. This guy says, do you want to come in a cryo chamber with me? I've arranged for us to go in a cryo chamber. So there's him and I, and there is photographic evidence which he is unwilling to share with the public.
Pop it up there.
I see that. Turn that around. One of yous has been in the gym.
He's banned me.
The other has.
He's banned me from showing it to anyone. So I better not upset him.
Get that on social media.
I won't do that.
Get out on social media.
That's ridiculous.
So, brilliant.
Topless with the gloves and all the rest of it. -86 it was for 3.5 minutes. Oh. And we got offered the chance to go in separately or together and like a true team.
We're going together.
The first thing I say is, by the way, it's cold in here.
-80.
Oh, but you're a brave man at the end. Yeah, turn it up for the last 30 seconds.
I wanted to turn it up to what?
The colder, I mean, obviously.
My contact lens is nearly froze over, but apart from that,
there were
great.
A polar bear with a hoodie on stand beside us.
What was it like? Was it stupid question, but proper, honestly, like the coldest thing you've ever experienced?
Not really. Not as bad as I
expected. It was
the
cold.
Best of it was he phones me about 6 hours later and goes, are you still cold? I said, no, I'm absolutely fine. I felt great after it. And he said, I'm freezing. I thought I had like broken him. I thought he was now just permanently cold.
Well, you were saying your legs were still cold
for the rest of his life.
About half an hour ago.
I've got to say, I'm actually going to go back to it. I'm loving it.
Do you know what that is?
So what do you get from it? Recovery?
We're not scientists.
I would say, but you're not allowed to say on the show.
Do you think this is the...
You booked me in.
Do you think this has got anything to do... Okay. Do you think the extended coldness has anything to do with your supernatural powers that you were discussing in the first hour of the show?
Aye.
No, not at all. As I say, Andrew, what do you get from...
Anyway, let's bring in... Please, let's go back. I feel like there's some sort of joke you're making and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
It's over my head.
About exposed skin, I think. You can't go near me.
The guy said you were supposed to expose as much skin as possible, but I don't think that's what he meant. What you did.
You take that too far.
I have to say.
That was good.
Anyway, talk about shriveling. Let's speak to John, who's on the line. John, you are a Celtic fan from Edinburgh, so they were on your patch last night. What do you make of them?
Well, thanks very much, guys, for getting me on. You do a brilliant show and that, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, John.
If I can come to something else, just momentarily before I speak about the Celtic performance last night and in the last two or three games, that would be good. Mm-hmm. You had the lad Craig on earlier on. I was speaking to you about whether it was a penalty or not, and he suggested that head knocks are just... Normally, given free kicks, where they just have a drop ball or something and just give it back to the opposition. And I mean, hopefully he's sitting down in a cold corner, because I mean, that's just a nonsense, right? Because you quite often see guys, the centre half, coming and heading the ball out the box, and if somebody catches them, it's a foul. And obviously, the fact that it was an attacking player last night that headed the ball, and then the guy but he clashed heads with him. And by the way, I don't know if Craig knows this or not, but the right back got taken to hospital and, you know, was in really poor order. It was a penalty. And I've seen loads of head knocks before that are fouled. If they're in the box, yeah, most of the time the centre-half win them, and if he gets caught, it's a foul for the defending team. That was a wee bit unusual last night, but it was clear cut. I did come on about a year ago to you, and just for Craig's benefit, I asked you about an incident that I'd never seen before, and I've never seen since, and I'll never see again, when Conor Goldson tipped the ball over the bar and a penalty was not given. So there's got to be two incidents, you know, that are quite conflicting, you know, for Craig to think about.
Please don't make us argue about Conor Goldson's handball from a year ago, John. We've got enough on our plate this week.
I know, but I mean, I brought that up and you came back to me at the time and says there was one incident where it happened in an Aberdeen game, and you said, but it wasn't a penalty. It was a penalty. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. You know, it was a penalty, but that was the only time that somebody had done that. But that wasn't the only point. That was a penalty last night. What I would like to, you know, bring up about my team at the moment is I feel like we're very pedestrian. Some of the pitches are not great at the moment. We're playing far too slow, and it's like we're wanting to walk the ball into the net all the time, you know. And by having the ball and not having shots from outside the box, we're encouraging the opposition to sit in tight, which is obviously not giving us enough space to be able to work in. So my problem is I'm really quite frustrated that we don't have shots from further outside the box. I mean, look at the guy from Motherwell last night. There's the other guy doing it. It shouldn't be a licence that you need to score for 2 yards out. You know what I mean? We've done it, in other games. I mean, Fjolgo done it against Rangers because Rangers are obviously going to come out and attack Celtic more and have that little bit of space. But, I'm really...
Do you think the style of play overall is an issue at the moment?
It's too slow, it's too pedestrian. We're encouraging the opposition to come on to us when we're trying to pass the ball out, you know, in and around our own box. As I say, the pitches are not brilliant. However, I feel some of the players are a bit complacent. Mm-hmm. And if we got the ball into, you know, a forward position more often, well, we do have quick players. But we never... I mean, I watch Rangers, they play the ball quite long a lot of the time, and it gives their forwards a chance to get up the park and put pressure on the opposition. I mean, talking about people from outside the box, I mean, there's...
John, that point you're making there, the Celtic just sold their best player at that, David Turnbull. David Turnbull was the one who consistently could score and hit the target from outside the box. So you're right in a way that would draw teams out to close down Turnbull and then create space for others to play around. But very rarely see teams high pressing Celtic at all in the Premiership now. And John's right that teams do fall back, and when you don't play quick enough, it then becomes so congested. It's hard to get the balls into the wide area. It's hard to get those through balls in between the centre-half and the full-back that they relied so heavily on for the cutbacks for Kyogo, or when it was Giakoumakis or whoever was playing that number nine role. So it becomes more difficult to do. So maybe opposition teams have got a lot to do with that now. They've seen a couple of years the Postecoglou philosophy, how quick it was, how direct it was with our passing, how crisp it was, and the runners in behind were always there, that teams may have adopted a different approach. But then it's up to the Celtic manager to come up with a solution. And I think that's where they're stumbling. Brendan Rodgers is trying to stick to his principles, possession-based. He's, I think, trying to stick as best he can to the way it was before, and he said he's not asked for much different. But there's just something not quite clicking. And that can happen to teams. They can go off the boil. The important thing is, when you're off the boil, you still find a way to win games. Last night they did. The problem at the weekend was they didn't. And you have to minimise, you know, the games, obviously, like Pataudry, where you don't find that last gasp winner to get you through.
Thanks, John. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One. Celebrating the first 50 years.
Well, these two are very excited about this. They're even talking about putting their own band together and trying to get onto the bill, which hopefully, for everyone's sake, doesn't happen. But for the last 50 years, Clyde One have brought you some of the best and most memorable live gigs and we've decided to do it again as part of our 50th celebrations. We're taking over the Ovo Hydro on Friday the 31st of May, and we want you to be there. Some huge names joining us, and if that fails, you might get the chance to see Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, big celebs that they are. The full lineup will be revealed very soon, but if you want to secure your place before they sell out, you can get them at Clyde1.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. There are quite a few things we've not even got close to coming round to tonight. Blue cards, what will they think of next? They'll talk about introducing blue cards to football. Do you want to have your say on that? Suit yourself. Or what about the Nations League draw? Scotland in with the big boys this time. Croatia, Poland and Portugal is the draw for Scotland. What do you make of that? If you want to keep going on the action from the last few nights, be my guest. We take it all on here. 0141 951 1025. Let's get this question up and running.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their made-to-measure wardrobes are always on the ball.
Is that your ghost is pressing the button?
Oh, I told you. This is weird. It's getting weirder.
I'm telling you.
I think your ghost's pressing the buttons.
There it is. What's just happened there? We've started something.
Wow. And by the way, a former teammate of yours. Okay. I'm getting lots of correspondence from you. Ali Graham, your former teammate. Gordon, yeah. I can verify the ghost story was true. But P.S. I ironed Dazzy's trousers.
Listen, the big man will tell you, right? 6 foot four. Right, puffs his chest out.
What has that got to do with anything?
He was under the bed.
The lights just flickered there as well. Did you see that?
Oh, big Ali was under the bed. I had to sit up and guard him all night. By the way, we still win the semi final as well.
Same night you're talking about. Mate, was that the Christmas night?
Big Ali kid, he's pal, he's just seen him.
The good people from Maple Cryotherapy have got in touch to ban you from ever going back because you took your shorts off.
I'm going to give it a go.
We're all over there. We're coming over to see Stuarty boy.
It was outrageous. Right, anyway, your question's quite tough tonight. Thanks to Jamie Costello for sending this in. Jamie wants you to name, I've cut it down a bit, Jamie, too hard for these two dafties, trust me, 5 non-British or Irish former Old Firm players with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since 1998. So who are the 5 non-British or Irish former Old Firm players with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since 1998?
Mialbi?
No.
No. Larson?
No.
Amoruso?
Nope.
This is a good start. Novo?
Yes.
Good shout.
Because of course has other clubs in there as well,
hasn't
he?
Oh, right, aye.
So
see where you're going there.
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout at all. Any from you, Mark Wilson?
Yeah, could you help me out here, please?
Got to be a, is there a goalkeeper on there? No.
Lovenkrantz?
Nope.
No, there's not many from me at the minute.
Okay, that's it's a good question, isn't it?
There must be a goalkeeper in there.
That's you what always say that, don't you?
But yeah. Are the goalkeeper in there, Gordon? Give us a wee clue.
Yes.
Claus.
That's a good clue. Right.
Claus.
Stefan Claus is there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a minute. There you
Mark
go.
Wilson, how many appearances did he make?
198, apparently.
And Larson isn't in there.
He'd have left too early, maybe, no?
Would he have?
When did Larson
Since 1998.
Did no, Larson that? Left. Larson. Yeah, he played against me in the semi final, 2000.
Larson, no.
2000. Is Arthur Newman one?
No. Is okay, listen, German? We'll get back to it. We will get back to it. Peter's a Celtic fan. Peter, there's been a range on here tonight. Some Celtic fans sort of feel calling for calm, think Celtic will go on and win the league. Others a bit more concerned. How would you class yourself?
Gordon, Mark, thank you for having me on the show. I think I'll come to my main point in a moment. I think, yeah, of course we can still win the league. We're still top of the league, and that's where you want to be. I think the spine of the team, Carter Vickers and Hitate, are going to be crucial. How quickly we can get them back. If we can get them back pretty soon, then I think
Don't worry, Peter. I think it's just the show is definitely haunted tonight. I've not got a clue what is going on. Like, this is utterly bizarre.
So,
Of course,
we can win the league, but we want our Vickers and Hitati back as quick as possible. And the big lad we got through Norwich, I think he might come. I think he's going to come good. But my main point was, I was googling yesterday about David Turnbull, and I think he was our fifth top goal scorer this season, having played very few minutes. But see, if you actually look at goals per minute, David Turnbull is actually your top goal scorer, because he had one goal every 105 minutes, and the nearest that came to him after that, it was over one goal every 200 minutes. Because I'm a huge David Turnbull fan, I think the guy's total class, and I'm thinking, why on earth do you sell? I know he's out of contract and maybe he wanted to go, but why did he not get more game time? Why, with someone who was such a ratio of a goal every 105 minutes, and you're by far much better in terms of score than the other, including Kyogo and Maeda and O'Reilly. O'Reilly was over 200 minutes per goal. Why do you let a talent and a goal scorer like that go at this stage of the season, especially in such a precarious situation?
I'm with Peter. I was a Turnbull fan. Look, is he in the same class as Hitati, O'Reilly? No, probably not. But could he contribute to Celtic? 100% for me. I think he's a guy that can get you those goals that you're talking about from outside the box. Set plays, he was terrific. But there was times that the Celtic fans would probably go on his back, and it's all about opinions. Look, his contract was up. There was £2 million offer for him. I think the lad had to get out and play football because he loves the game. I just think it was the right time, the right move. But I do believe that from now to the end of the season, if Turnbull had still been in the building, I'm sure he could have contributed a lot to Celtic.
Oh, without doubt, he would have. And I stated pretty much all season that I thought Turnbull should have been in a lot of the time before Bernardo, but Brendan Rodgers favoured Bernardo.
And to be fair, he came good, didn't he? He came good,
but I don't think you'll ever get the goals return from Bernardo that you do Turnbull. And I think Turnbull's proved that from his career. Well, at Motherwell, and then when he came to Celtic, that he's a goal-scoring midfielder. Something different from what Celtic's got. And it is all about timing, because in the face of it, it doesn't look good just now, because Hitati then picks up his injury that's going to keep him out for a number of weeks. Had Hitati been back when Maeda was back, I don't think many people would have a problem with it. But because you take someone so influential out the team for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, however long Hitati's going to be out for, then there's a glaring lack of options, and Turnbull could have played his way back in.
Is the contractual situation impossible to ignore, though? I mean, if you can, I know it's, we say only 2 million now in football terms, you know, if you can make 2 million quid on a guy that's out of contract at the end of the season and isn't getting probably as much game time as he wants, you've maybe got a player there that thinks it's time as well, and all that sort of stuff. Or would you? So you would have just held on to the end of the season anyway to see what.
If it was me, yeah, I would have. Now, I know, I get that David Turnbull probably wanted more game time, but I think I would have tried to convince him to stay. And £2 million, I think that's worth a £2 million gamble when you're claiming you're a cash-rich club anyway. I know £2 million is a lot of money, especially in Scotland, but is it worth keeping him to try and recoup some of that? Maybe another 5 goals, where that gets you from now to the end of the season in 13 games, that's not impossible to think that could happen with Turnbull. So, maybe Brendan Rodgers did try to convince him. Maybe the player made it abundantly clear that he wanted to pursue other options. There's nothing wrong with that. Players need to play football when they're young in their career. So we don't know what happened closed doors, but if it was me, I would have tried to keep him. I agree with Peter. He's a goal scorer, and he could really be the difference in maybe, you know, winning a game like Pittodrie on Saturday, or one of these hard ones to come in the coming weeks.
It's a good question, Peter. Thank you very much. 01419511025. So many games last night, so many talking points that we've not got round to. I want to just try and pick some quickly and get at least your thoughts on it. What about James Bolton's red card for Dundee? I don't make an apology for this, or, you know, not complaining. It's supply and demand, it's the way it is. But we'll hear loads about Dejan Sterling, and we'll hear loads about Celtic's penalties, and when other clubs feel like they've been on the receiving end of an injustice, it just doesn't, people don't make much noise about it. But St Mirren want this one to have noise about it. They feel they've been hard done by. They've appealed the decision to show a straight red card to James Bolton in the win over Dundee.
I can see the reasons why, but I can also see the reason why, you know, in game time the referee decided to give him a red card. I think it was
the VAR's there, though, remember?
Yeah, but I think it's the height of the when he goes into the tackle, he goes in very quickly. He's not going in there with any malice at all, but I think he goes in very quickly. The lad is quite high going over him. And I think the referee looks at that. Is that endangering
the opponent before he gets to the player, though?
I
think it's a shocker, a decision. I can agree with the speed on field that the referee might think, right, that's fine, because I think everybody looking at it. But when you go and look at that monitor, you've got to be able to differentiate what is reckless, what is dangerous, what's endangering an opponent, and what's not.
I don't think he puts his foot in there to go and do it. Right?
It certainly doesn't.
But he gets in at such a pace, and as he's going down, he obviously goes right through. Look,
I'm genuinely fascinated by these debates, because how does he go right through him? I actually can't see that, and I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, how does the lad go right over the top of him?
But see the foot that he leads with?
Yeah.
He kind of pulls it
back. I agree with that.
I feel like that goes in. I genuinely don't feel like that goes into the Dundee.
I agree with Gordon. I think you're way off.
No. I'm not saying. Look, if he hadn't given him a red card, I wouldn't be sitting here going, that's a straight red card. But you can understand for the ref's point of view watching that he sees
and in real time. Yeah. But on the screen.
But he still thinks that's reckless.
Well, here we go. Look at
an opinion.
You think I meant these things? His appeal, I think, is heard tomorrow. Here's breaking news. I can see the Scottish Sun reporting it for now, that Dujon Sterling has lost his appeal. Right. The red card that he picked up against Aberdeen. Remember, it was one of those rare ones where the referee went to the monitor, stuck by his original decision. Everybody says they want refs to stick by the original decision until it impacts your team. And then you think, what's happened here? Why is this the example? But Don Robertson stuck with his decision, and he's been backed up. He wasn't necessarily backed up by the VAR, but he's been backed up in a sense by the independent appeals panel.
You want my view on that one?
You surprised or not?
No. I think it is a red card, and the fact that the referee then took time to go over to the screen, have a good look at it, and decided to stick by his decision. Look, on the night, if he gave him a yellow, I wouldn't be screaming.
Because it's not high?
Yeah.
Is that the bit where people keep sort of...
But it's the pace and everything as well, okay. And that's what they take into consideration now, Gordon. But if they'd have gave him a yellow on the night and I'm sitting there, I wouldn't have been screaming, oh, that's a definite red card. But when you look at it and then you look at it in the screens, I'm not surprised that's not been overturned. I know Rangers fans will be screaming that it should never have been a red. Totally understand that. It's all about opinions. But I think that's a red card.
I have to agree with Daz on that one. I'm not surprised that hasn't been overturned. I'm not surprised that it went to the monitor and stuck with his decision. So I think, he got that one right. I think we need to encourage that more. But
into that category of, you wouldn't have been that surprised to see it a yellow in the first place because how low it was?
I don't think MD would have made much a massive deal of that if the ref, you know, decided.
You know, it's probably one of those, if it was a yellow, would have calls on saying that that could have been a red.
Do you know what they should do? They should introduce another colour of card.
In between yellow and red.
See, that's your professionalism kicking in there. And he's managed to tie this in.
And then they could look at other options. But anyway, Andy has been hanging on for quite some time. Andy, let's do it quickly. I'm approaching this break. Sorry, what are your thoughts tonight?
Hey, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Rangers fan from Newcastle, and I'm just calling about Rangers Celtic, to be honest. I had your callers saying that complain about penalties and things. All that stuff is water under the bridge. You know, Bolton had a potential penalty in the last game against Aberdeen, fine. Celtic had a penalty last night, fine. Get all that stuff. They've all sorted stuff out. What I really wanted to say was, I'm a real football junkie and I listen to Rangers and Celtic podcasts. And I listened to a Celtic podcast today who describes Celtic as a heavyweight fighter on the ropes, because I think and believe momentum is massive in football, and since Clermont came in, momentum has shifted big time. It really has. We were 8 points behind, since then, you know, we lost to Celtic. I think we drew Aberdeen. We've come from a massive way behind and we're now equal. And when I look at it, what I see is since Celtic this year are like a shadow of the team they were under Ange. And Clermont has re-energised Rangers massively. And I think that's the reason why Rangers fans are quite optimistic, because the momentum is charging. It really is.
Andy, the line's breaking up a bit, but I think you make some interesting points that people will want to have their say on. For those who didn't hear, Andy said, you know, talked about Celtic being a heavyweight boxer on the ropes, and you know, Rangers having momentum and that sort of thing. Do you understand where Andy's coming from?
Totally understand that. I think you can quite clearly see that you know, Celtic are finding it difficult just now to do the simplest task, but they're hanging in there. They're still winning enough games to keep them top, while Rangers are ticking along nicely. I don't think Rangers are actually playing sparkling football and good in the eye, but they're much improved and clawed back that. And it makes it very interesting for these 13 games. He's right, momentum is huge in football, but it really only counts at the end of May if you can continue it all the way, if you can make the swing complete. And then you look back at this period from January and February and you say, that was the point, everything swung. If it results in nothing at the end of it, then all it is a good month or two. So it's up to Philippe Clement to kind of harness all this good energy going about Rangers and Ibrox at the minute and turn it into something, you know, successful at the end. And that's the hardest bit. From now till May, no matter what anybody tells you, is the hardest bit. Getting over the line and winning these games. When you get down to 13, before you know it's 10, and then you're into single figures, that's when it gets tough.
Good point, Andy. We will take more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
How are you on this teaser? Looking for the five non-British or Irish former Old Firm players with the most Scottish top flight appearances since 1998. You've got Nacho Novo and Stefan Kloss. Any more?
No, because he's not former.
No what?
Former.
What about Loudrop?
No.
He didn't play for that long.
Alberts. Alberts.
Sorry, I was distracted, as you could tell. No.
Oh my goodness. You're struggling here, Mark. I'm glad you never gave us a 10. You're going to the Morning Night Show.
No.
Quickly, any more?
Aldi? No.
No, there's a couple of Celtic ones in there, non-British or Irish.
Many Rangers.
I mean,
just keeps it.
Three, in fact, the three you've got left are all Celtic.
Right, okay.
Mark, you probably played with them all.
Samaras?
No.
Lustig?
Nope. What about the start of your Celtic career? Maybe you didn't. No, I think, yeah, you will have.
Petrov?
Yes, Stylian Petrov. Okay, two to get. Let's bring in Tony. Breaking news tonight is that the Dujon Sterling appeal was unsuccessful. He'll serve his ban. Tony's a Rangers fan. What did you make of it, Tony? Did you expect it to get overturned?
Honestly, I did expect it to get overturned. If it was me, it would have been overturned immediately. I've been a referee for 2.5 years, and the way I see it is the SFA have just wanted to back Don Robertson. Because the way I see it is, he's made a clear and obvious error, and he doesn't want to go back on it with everyone there.
See, the only thing about that theory, Tony, it just doesn't stack up, because for a start, this is an independent panel who hears the appeals. It's not, you know, it's not the refs. Yeah. This is an independent panel that hear the appeals. If the SFA wanted to stand by him in that regard, it's worth bearing in mind that he's got a VAR who basically told the world, "Don, I think you've made a mistake." The VAR made him go over to the monitor, so the VAR wasn't in agreement with him, but Don Robertson stuck by his decision, at which point it's gone to an independent panel. There have even been examples already during our time of VAR where VAR has upgraded a yellow to a red and then they've won the appeal. So this notion that it's somebody sticking by somebody else just doesn't stand up to any scrutiny. That said, you're more than welcome to say it's a horrendous decision. I think that's fine if you believe that. But this notion that it's somebody sticking up for somebody else doesn't make sense. This is it's an independent appeals panel.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. But the way I've seen it is, VAR have obviously said that he looks like he's made a mistake. Don Robertson's not one to go back on his decision.
But why? They always do that. Like, do you know what I mean? They always do. The fact that he hasn't is a novelty. They rarely do. So, like, if that's the case, everyone would stick by their decision when they go to the monitor. The rare thing about this is that he didn't. So he must really have just felt that he got it right. You could almost see, I can't remember the words that he was saying, but it was something about speed. You could see that he just thought it was too fast. You don't have to agree. But again, these theories as to why it's happened, I don't think they're helpful.
So, if you look at the other challenges in the game from Aberdeen and Rangers, if Dejon Sterling's was a red card, how aren't they a red card?
Which one?
I can't remember his name. Who's it on? I think it might have been on Lundstrom. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't know. There may have been. Was there another one?
I can't remember.
I genuinely can't. I don't know if there was.
But you've got to look at the situation. It's the Sterling one. Look, I can hear all the arguments. Of course I can. As I said to you, it was between the yellow and red. I like the fact the referees decided to go over, have a look at it and say, no, I'm sticking by my decision. I do think it's a red card. And people will argue, as Tony says, he's been a referee in his time. I don't know if he still is, but it's all about personal opinion. And if you're an Aberdeen side of this, you're probably saying yes, straight red card. I can totally understand Rangers fans not happy, but I'm not in the situation where I'm going, no, I think that's a terrible call. They should have overturned that. I can totally understand why they've kept that red card.
I think that is the decision. Yeah, that's the problem, Mark. And I don't mean to get too deep with this stuff, but it's a real problem in football generally, whether it's heightened by social media, whether we're going to get really heightened by it because we've got a real title race on our hands. You're allowed to disagree with decisions. Tony's more than entitled to disagree with it. But this, like, unwillingness to think, this unwillingness to accept that somebody might just have a different opinion rather than, oh, it has to be because of that, and it's clearly because of that, and it's because refs are trying to help them, or it's because, they need to cover this up. What about the fact that people have maybe just got a different opinion? I feel like we're slipping into a real habit that every decision is the worst decision people have ever seen, or it's a complete disgrace. I referenced Bobby Madden's explainer earlier on, and I thought it was perfect on this instance in particular, because he said, see, if that was me, if you forced me, I'd probably say that's a yellow. But the referee needs to take the speed into account, and fair enough for sticking by his own decision. Yeah. What's wrong with that? These things can be marginal. They don't need to be a disgrace one way
of course,
or the other.
Yeah, and football is so subjective, but when it comes down to your team, and I think you're right with the title race really heating up now, and social media, that things are now instant, and opinions of others are now instant, and people jump on those opinions very, very quickly, and they kind of form an opinion really quickly themselves over what somebody, that all adds into it, I think. Well, I can't agree with that decision. I can see why it's been upheld. I can see why it's a red card. I can see why it's split the actual referee and VAR as well. But what I did like about it was the ref had the courage to stick by his decision, because it wasn't clearly a horrendous decision. There is a part of me, I can see that. But equally, if it was a yellow, then okay. But would then be having callers on saying, by the way, why is that not red? Because here's evidence of someone else with a similar challenge getting red carded. So,
and round and round we go. Thanks, Tony, for sharing your thoughts with us. We're pretty much out of time, as you can hear. Quickly, you two, you've got two more.
Struggling.
Five non-British or Irish former Old Firm players with the most appearances in the top flight since 98. Novo, Petrov, Kloss.
Agat?
Nope. Non-British or Irish. What about way over the other side of the world?
Australia. Scott McDonald.
Oh, and aye.
One that I really didn't think would be on this, but he's played with a number of clubs because it wasn't just Celtic. There was Hibs. He's popped up at St Johnstone and
Jackson Irvine.
Livy and
no.
Jackson Irvine.
Well, he was at Celtic, Ross County.
196 appearances in the top flight this guy's got.
Stuart Lovell. No. What, he was at Hibs and Livy.
Celtic.
Aye, he wasn't at Celtic. He didn't make it.
Oh, no, shows I'm struggling.
EA, not sports.
EA.
No, Enrico Anoni.
No. Effie Ambrose.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Mark Wilson. Thank you, Gordon DL. Thank you, most importantly. Thanks a lot for being in touch with us tonight. Back at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller.